We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch.
Praise the Lord. Once again, it's time to take time for Jesus, and we're here today to just welcome you in the name of Jesus, to give praise and honor unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For as the man on the before me said, there is no other God. Jesus, it's all about him. He's the one that died for us, and scripturally speaking, that he's the only one that can bring salvation to us. So I'm just glad today to report that he's still on the throne, and he has everything under control. No matter what other people may say or what others may do, he's still in control of all things. He created the world and the fullness thereof, and so that makes him owner of it all, and he's in control. He holds the world in the palm of his hand, and my friend, today he is the only one that purchased yours and my salvation on the cross where he died for us all. So we're just happy today to lift up that name of Jesus in the time of Take Time for Jesus. A lot of people takes time for everything else, but they give little to no time for him. So I'm just pleased today to know that he is my Savior, and besides him, there is none. So I'm thank God today to know that he is still in control and has it all in the palm of his hand. To know that he is righteous and we are none righteous. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We've all come short of the glory of God, and we needed a Savior, so he provided salvation for us all, that we would believe on him, trust in him, faith in him, calling upon the name of the Lord in repentance, giving praise and honor unto him. And we appreciate all of you that's listened, and those that we have heard from, we thank you for that. And all things we give God praise and honor for you and those others. Oh God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for your grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have, that we can take time out of everything else to give praise and honor unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that you have bestowed upon us spiritually, physically, and financially. Ask that you would touch the ears of the hearers and the heart to believe and receive you as their Savior, calling upon the name of the Lord in repentance, seeking after you and the fullness thereof, to let the light of the gospel shine into their heart, that they may see the way more clearly, and that you would lift up your children in these days that we live, because the perilous times is upon us, and people are running to and fro, seeking being high-minded in one thing or another. But Lord, we know that you have control, so we just ask that you would help us touch the lips of clay, and to bring forth that which would be pleasing unto thee, and we'll honor you and praise you for these and all things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Lord. Here's my wife now. She's got something other for you here.
Well, I just praise the Lord again for being able to bring to you what the Lord has laid on my heart. And I was going to write down this week every, you know, the emails we get from different places. I know we got Birmingham, we got San Diego, got the Virgin Islands, and there's been several. So please forgive me, but we do appreciate everyone that we get from the internet that listens to us, and I just praise God for this, be able to share things with you. And if there's anything that you would like to have, you just let me know and I'll be glad to send it to you. It won't cost you nothing, and I'll be grateful to do it. Now, I'm an old Pennsylvania girl from Martinsburg. And every week I get the Martinsburg Herald, and there's a man that's up in the years, and he writes an article every week. So, Brother Kerr, I'm sharing this with the world, and I got your permission from the Herald that I won't be doing anything that's not good. But the last few weeks he has been on humility. So this is from the paper written by Brother Kerr up in Martinsburg, Pennsylvania. He said, I spent a good portion of last week's thought talking about humility. Perhaps I should give some sort of definition to the word. What is humility? Well, it is lack of pride in oneself. Oh, me. But it's not saying I'm a dirty, rotten, no good, useless, worthless worm. Humility is being honest, not claiming virtue or goodness that is not possessed, but rather acknowledging imperfections and failures. Nor it is disclaiming virtue, goodness, or attributes that are possessed.
Praise the Lord.
Humility claims only what is true of oneself while acknowledging that all virtues, qualities, goodnesses are gifts of a merciful and gracious God. Such humility is required of anyone in any church that claims to be God's person or God's people. Being humble has always been a challenge. Jesus' disciples argued about which of them was the most important, so it's no surprise that we do the same. I certainly cannot pick on others. I, too, struggle. But this is exactly why God gave this requirement to Solomon. He was rich, famous, smart, and a lot more. His nation was highly favored of God. But God knows that pride leads to downfalls and all sorts of problems. If God's people do not humble themselves, then God must humble them. The church should best understand the need for humility as we look at the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is fully God, yet he left the splendor of heaven, came to earth as a child, born of a virgin, born into the lowly estate of a common family without physical beauty or attractiveness.
Amen.
He even humbled himself enough to die for those who hated him. His death was horrible. He could have summoned multitudes of angels to deliver him, but he chose to pay the full price for sin, though he never committed sin. He was not guilty.
That's the name of the Lord.
But he suffered and died for those who were and still are.
Hallelujah.
Salvation cannot be ours until we humble ourselves to the point of confessing our sin in nature and our sinfulness, confessing weaknesses, helplessness, failure, and sin is not easy, especially for men, but Pastor Kerr, women too, but for all human beings. Once a person becomes a Christian and a member of the body of Christ, we are less willing to confess weaknesses and helplessness, failure, and sin. But without confession, there can truly be no forgiveness. God desperately wants to give us the best of everything he has to offer, but he knows he dare not give this to us until we humble ourselves. If he gifted the arrogant, the proud, the boastful, gifts would only add to their arrogance and pride. God is making an effort to humble us as people, as a church, as a nation. He is still being gentle and wooing us to himself, but he does not want us to be destroyed. And I firmly believe unless we do humble ourselves, God will make efforts to bend our knees so that we do humble ourselves. And he'll make us bend our knees so that we can kneel before him and he'll humble ourselves for himself. When we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from wickedness, he will listen. And one of the scriptures was Matthew 18th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Okay. And at the same time came disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them, set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And I had a prayer here is, give us humility, Lord, not to act like Job's friends or accused him of sin because of his trials. Show us how to help those who are struggling so that we might give the kind of encouragement you have given us. Humility toward God makes us gentle toward others. And if you would like to help us, it would be greatly appreciated. But more important is to just let us know that you're listening out there. You can write to us, Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. We appreciate just the encouragement to let us know that we're not, you know, just whatever you want, flapping in the wind or whatever you say. But I just love the Lord, and I know I get carried away sometimes, but He is the root of my salvation. He's the first one I talk to in the morning after one of my puppies will jump up there, and I try to tell him to be quiet. But I just love the Lord, and I start my day with Him. I end my day with Him. And I say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We were brought up that way. We said it every morning. We went to school. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Start your day like that, and you'll be surprised at how it goes.
Yes, praise the Lord. Humility is a great, wonderful thing. And God expects us to be humble before Him. Pride goes before a fall, as it was said. A lot of people has a lot of pride, but they've got very little humility. Humbling before the Lord Jesus will bring us forth in favorable in His sight. But pride, as Lucifer had so much pride, he wanted to climb, he wanted to go all above and get ahead of God and become the head man. So he was cast out. And he was cast out into this world and become the god of this world, and he is deceived and blinded the minds of a lot of people because of his deceiving ways that people are unaware of, simply because they won't take time to read what the Word of God says and give God praise and honor and humble themselves before the presence of God. God came down in the flesh to die for sinners like you and I. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. We was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But who has the arm of the Lord been revealed, according to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter? Whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? My friend, with all of the preaching ever since I've been around that has been come out with truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if you don't know who He is by now, it's probably, chances are, you won't never know. But nevertheless, I mean, it's time that we take into consideration of what was done for you and I on Calvary's cross. It wasn't done just for a certain group of people. It wasn't done for just a certain nationality of people. But it was done that to fulfill the promise that God had gave to Abraham, that out of his seed that all nations would be blessed. And when he said all, I believe he meant all. He looked and he created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, and he even made comment that it was all good. But now there's good and there's bad in just about every walk of life today. There's some that are good and some that is worse than bad. But my friend, we're living in the time of the hours that we're living now in these days, that we're living in the end time. The message has got to be brought out. Whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? According to the Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, he said, whom has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him is a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, or even we shall see him. in which we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did not esteem him. He was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We are all. All is all. It ain't be a half. It says all. We are like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and the sheep before her shears, and dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and whom shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich, and in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put on him the grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasing of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see in the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by the knowledge. Shall he my righteousness service justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide unto him a portion with the greatness, and shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he has numbered with the transgression, and he bared sins for many, and made intercession for the transgression. Isaiah summed it up, what God has done for you and I, my friend. Now, has the arm of the Lord been revealed to you? Do you believe the report that has been given, even as the word of God proclaims? The prophets of old sent these letters unto us today that were in, that would bring us forth, that we might believe and trust in him who came to die for us on Calvary's cross. He took yours and my sins upon him. He didn't have to, but because God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that through him that the world might be saved. Now, have you been acknowledged that God is real? Or do you just say, well, it's like some people would say, well, it's just a myth. Well, Santa Claus is a myth and Easter Bunny is a myth. But a lot of people lean towards that at certain times of the year. But my friend, Jesus Christ is God of glory. He was the Father in the beginning, in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration. God manifested in the flesh, came to die for souls like you and I. Because we had no opportunity. The law couldn't save us. But Isaiah told us that he took all of our sins and our sorrows, our griefs, and he took them and put it on him. Then he became sin for you and I. He bore our sins. He didn't become sin, but he took our sins upon him and nailed them to the cross. Has the arm of God been revealed to you in the wherein that you've been hearing? Or have you been kindly somewhat asleep in the pew, if you've been in the pew? or have do you just go your own merry way? As the scripture said, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all went our own way. We've done these things all the days of our life. It's time we take time to recognize what the price was paid for you and I, and repent for our sins and come unto the Lord and give Him praise and glory. He didn't put anything to us there that we are not capable of doing, but He has made a way for our escape. But there's things in this world has taken people down the road of destruction simply because of blindness of their heart, because they won't read what the Word says. They allow somebody else to do it, but they won't listen to it even when somebody else reads it. They may be to it telling you the straight of it. They may not be. But my friend, it's not time that we would just take somebody's word for it. Read your Bible, as I have encouraged you from time to time. Read your Bible. See what it says. Don't take somebody else's word for it, or just whatever wind of doctrine that comes along. See what the Word of God has to say. It revealed the arm of the Lord to us there, and Isaiah said He revealed it to us. His arm is not short that He cannot save. He came for that purpose, to die on Calvary's cross, that you and I could have salvation. He died for your sins as well as He did for mine. He came into this world as a child. He came, was born in a stable, laid in a manger, which a manger was a feed trough if you want to get right down to it. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is something other about like cheesecloth, if you will. But it wasn't on the day, December the 25th, my friend. It was at a different time of the year. But I want you to realize that the arm of God has been revealed to this nation for a long time yet. But they've closed their minds to it. They've went astray. They've come away, and they've talked to other religions. They've talked to other things. They've come to embrace other gods. And there's only one God. Jesus is His name. But He was God in the beginning, and the created when the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the deep. It was without form, and He created the heavens and the earth, and He said it was good. He put man on it and put a woman out of the man. He brought them there forth and gave them one little commandment, that they not bother the tree of knowledge, the one between good and evil. But they disobeyed. And it was a time that they passed the buck, if you will. Adam, when he was approached from God about it, when he asked him, he said, "Who told you you were naked?" And he said, "The woman there that you gave me, gave to me of the fruit, and I did eat." He said, "What is this you've done?" He said, "Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I accept." It's about what it amounts to. My friend, when you look upon the things of this world, they all look pleasant. They all look enticing. The devil created them in the minds of people to do so, to entice you to partake of it, that worrying that he could get you into the place of where he could drag you into hell and beat you in the face with the soot, if it possible. My friend, he didn't come into this world. The devil is not here to please. He's here to deceive, destroy, and kill. He wants you to look to him for everything. And a lot of people are leaning on the arm of flesh, on the arm of the government, if you will. They're looking to the government to supply everything they need. Paul said, if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. But it's time that people begin to realize that the arm of God has been revealed through the Scriptures. But if you hadn't read the Scriptures and properly brought forth there the interpretation of them, as you can if you receive Christ as your Lord, and the Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost that would regenerate you and bring to the knowledge of the Word of God in truth and in spirit, you can follow after God. You can't do it in the carnal mind. The carnal mind is enemy between you and God. The devil is a carnal thought, but God is a spirit, and them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You remember how when Jesus told the apostles, he said, I must go through Samaria. And when he came there, he said on the well, which was Jacob had gave to his son there. I want you to know that when the woman came, the Samaritan woman came, that as far as the Jews is concerned, she was nothing more but a dog. She was a Samaritan. She was in the 10 tribes of the house of Israel, which was in the northern tribes. But she was a woman, and God came to deliver all that whoever to bring them into salvation. But she came to the well. The other people, she was, Kylie had 5 husbands, and one she wasn't with wasn't her husband. He was just, I guess she was just living with him, shacking up, so our word of term says this day. But nevertheless, when she would come there and he asked her to give to him to drink, she said, "How is it you being a Jew and you ask of me to give you to drink when we don't have no dealings with one another? Besides that, the well's deep and you have nothing to draw with." He said, "If you'd asked me, if you knew who it was that asked you to give to him to drink, you would have asked him that he would give you living waters." My friend, that fountain of living waters still flows today.
Amen.
And she accepted it and went, and when he asked her, he said, "Where's your husband?" She said, "I have none." She said, he told her, "You said right. You had 5, but the one you're with now is not yours." Now, evidently the others had all passed away. That happens in life. But the one she had was not hers. I don't know whether he was somebody else's husband or not, or just... they were just together. I don't know. It doesn't say. But nevertheless, she went to tell him the good news. Is not he the Messiah? Mm-hmm. He was the one that came to give her eternal life, to give her waters of life. Is not he the Messiah? He told me all that I had ever done. My friend, today there's a lot of people out in there, the world there, that you fill out a card when you go into their place and everything, and you fill out that card and some secret microphone or something, and somebody's out there telling that man all of your name, your address, and all that kind of stuff, and he's standing up there to make you think that he knows all that by the Spirit of God when somebody's telling him what it is. It's all a phenomenon. It's all brought through by the working of Satan to deceive you, to bring you into the place to where you will accept all this here stuff and a deceiver. God don't work in no cloak of darkness, my friend. All that he does is out in the open, for he is a light that shineth out into darkness where you and I were at in sin and brought us into this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So is the arm of God been revealed to you through the ministers that's been teaching you God's will and his ways, his word? Have you received the Lord as your personal Savior? Are you still wondering about it? You still in the valley of decision? It's time you made a decision, my friend, because the time is running out. It's time we need to decide today to whom we will serve. If we're going to serve man, we're going to lose out. If you're going to serve God, it's about time you got it right. It's about time you read what the Scripture had to say and come into the place where he said, and repent. A lot of people think that the church is the only place. Well, if it's the true church of God, the church was started on the days of Pentecost in the book of Acts. It was a church in the wilderness before that. It was known as a tabernacle in the wilderness. But God come and established his church amongst you and I today in the book of Acts when Peter stood up and said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Many people make fun about the Holy Ghost and they got all that gibberish and jabbers, and I understand that a lot of people emphasize a lot there that's not God, but that's the mind of the devil. There's a lot of false prophets out there, my friend, that's coming and deceiving many simply because they're simple-minded and they won't believe what the Word of God says. They wait upon someone else to tell them. Well, I'm telling you today, read the Word of God. ask God to give you an understanding of it. Not because it's me or because of someone else, but he can give it to you if you will ask. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you can find. Knock and it'll be open unto you. Have you asked? Have you sought for him? Have you knocked? Have you required of God of his wills and his ways for you in your life? Or have you just been skipping along, kicking the can down the road, so you say, on somebody else's hearsay? My friend, it's time we got to business with God. Time's running out, whether you realize it or not. If you'd read the Word of God, you'd see where all of the signs that were spoken about by the prophets of old and Revelation there, you would see that the times and the signs are being fulfilled before our eyes today. They're not 100 years from now. They're being fulfilled today. All these things, the rumors of wars, earthquakes, and all these things are happening today. Destruction, all kinds of problems are happening. It's all in the book, if you'd take time to read it and ask God for the understanding of it. It's all written there. But many people today are listening to that easy believing stuff. I had a man to tell me that he used to believe like I believe. I believe you have to repent. He told me, I believed that one time, but I come to realize that I'm going to go to heaven whether I want to or not. My friend, there's no such a thing as that. That's deceived. The devil had deceived that man and let him know that he could do any old kind of way. Well, some people says that it's by the grace of God, which it is, my friend, but shall we continue in our sin that grace may abound? Paul said, no, God forbid. It's not the grace of God that you can trample with and trample the blood of Jesus under your feet in sin and corruption of all kinds, in acts of immorality, stealing, killing, and everything, and then you rely upon the grace of God's going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. Don't believe that lie the devil has told you, because it ain't going to happen, my friend. You'll fall right into hell with all the rest of the false teachers. God said he would cast them all into hell and the devil with him. So now you're going to believe what the Word of God says, or you're going to believe what somebody come along and just out of the clear just said, well, I've had them to come up to me and prophesy to me and said, this is going to be tonight. God's going to give you a great blessing. There's going to be somebody come up and give you a big box, and it's going to be a great blessing. And I'm still waiting on it. I've never seen the man before, never seen him after. I don't even know what happened to him. But the box ain't showed up either. But when he put it that night, it didn't happen, my friend. I marked that man as a false prophet. That's exactly what he was. The devil comes in many shapes, forms, and fashions, the old saying goes. He comes to brighten up everything and make it look so great. Eve looked on the forbidden fruit. It looked tempting. It looked good. She touched it. It touched all right. She tasted of it. It tasted all right. But when she gave it to Adam, my friend, we've been in trouble ever since, because it put the world in sin, and Jesus came to bargain. He laid his life down that you could have life. He came, as Isaiah said, as the arm of the Lord been revealed to you out of the scriptures? Have you come to him in repentance, seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or have you went your own way, letting the devil drag you around by a leash or by the end of your nose or something other, into everything that could be imaginable that's wrong and displeasing to God? Or have you sought after the kingdom of God and his arm of salvation? God looked into the world there one time and seen that it was corrupt, and his own right arm brought unto him salvation. Noah lived in the days like we're living in today. Sodom and Gomorrah was like we're living in today. Jesus spoke about it, that it would come the time that they would live in the days of Noah and the days of Lot at the end of time. Noah's day, there was sin running all kinds of way. People done everything which was right in their own sight. In Lot's time, they was in Sodom and Gomorrah, the immorality had run rampant all over the place. And God destroyed the world with the water, saved 8 souls. I hope it'll be more than that will be saved in the coming of the Lord. But there was none but 3 got out. Well, 4 got out, but 1 turned to look, turned into a pillar of salt according to the scripture. So there was only 3 saved out of Sodom. I hope there'll be more than that saved out of this world of perversion and everything that has come into. It's even coming infiltrated into some of the churches that used to preach against it, now uphold it. My friend, today we got to realize that God is not mocked. He's going to require us to repent. We're going to pay for our sins. If we don't repent, we will pay for our sins in destruction. Cast into a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels, but it's been enlarged. Because there's many people that wants to go there, evidently, because they're not repenting. They're going and doing their own thing. They're robbing, killing, and all these things that they're doing, committing adultery and so on and so forth, all today, right as we're living. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, all these things are right here happening. Signs in the heavens and the earth and the sea roaring out. Read your word and let the arm of God be revealed to you. Let the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, reveal unto you what the Scripture says, that you might come to God with humbleness and repentance, being humble before Him and allow Him to come into your life to bring you out of the darkness of this world, out of the sinful nature that you got, and bring you into the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. It's the only way you can do it, my friend. You can't buy your way out of purgatory. You can't buy your way into salvation. It's just impossible. The price for yours and my salvation has already been paid. As Peter made the statement there, he said, "You were not purchased with silver or gold or the corruptible things of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus." My friend, you was bought with the price that could only be done through the shedding of blood according to the scripture. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. Jesus came to die for yours and my miserable sins. Our soul was at stake, but He came to give us the opportunity that we can have life and have it eternally. He came to give you an opportunity and I an opportunity to escape the pits of hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, I believe in the Lord. Well, the devil believes also and trembles. Do you tremble? Do you really and truly believe God and everything? Or do you just skip hop along and hope that you're going to make it? Oh, some of you's put it off, my friend. I know I did a few times myself. Put it off because I wanted to do one more little fling. I had an old girl that I wanted to go see one more time before I come into the presence of God and repented. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that one more time. Through the mercy of God, He spared me through all of that times, and He brought me to the place. Almost got killed 2 or 3 times, but He sure woke me up, got my attention. And my friends, when I called upon the name of the Lord in repentance, He was there. But He was there all the time. He said He'd reach out to feel for Him, and He'd be there. I reached out to Him. He reached down a lot further than I could reach up. He reached down beyond all of my sins. He became sin for me. He came down to my level to bring me up to His level. Friends, I'm not seeking to bring God down into this world, in the world's level. I'm seeking to get you to call upon the name of the Lord God, that you may rise up from the beneath this all this corruption that is in the world, that you might come into the righteousness of God through the reading of the Word, through the preaching of the gospel. Paul made a statement. He said, "I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's power unto salvation." And that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus. It ain't about me or about some of the rest of the big-time preachers that's on the TVs and radios and everything. It's all about Jesus. There's many of them that come that, there and preaching another Jesus, but there's only one. A lot of people have been named Jesus, but there's only one real true Jesus, the Son of God. God in the flesh. The Son of God was the flesh at which he came down and dwelt in. When he come up on the river of Jordan there, and the dove is the Spirit of God descended down as a dove and remained on, he said, told John that it would be him. And he told him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." It was the Lamb of God was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, because he knew that men was going to fall for all the things that the devil had to offer. They would come involved in all the things and the sins of this world, seeking after glory, honor for themselves, but giving nothing to God. My friends, it's a shame to be having to say that, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's why Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of this gospel, for it's power unto salvation." I'm not ashamed of this man called Jesus, because he purchased my salvation with his own life and his blood on Calvary 2,000 years or more ago. But, oh my God, he's going to come back real soon. And them that are hid in the cares of this world is going to be like the 10 virgins. Now the Bible says they were 10 of them. They were all virgins. But while they waited upon the bridegroom and they slumbered, some of them must have got carried away with the things of the world, because they let their light go out. They let the vessel get dry of oil. They let the Spirit of God, no doubt, seep away because of the cares of this world. And when the sound came out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." They arose to trim the lights and turn them on, get them to burning. They found out they didn't have 5 of them. They were still virgins. There's a lot of religious people in this world that claims they got it all. But my friend, religion is one thing, but salvation is altogether a different thing. You can be religious about many things, but salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that salvation comes. Oh, there's many religions, but there's only one Savior, and Jesus is his name. He's the one that came and bled and died for you and I on Calvary's cross. He's the only one that can save you from your corruption of your sins. Oh, Paul said, "I die daily." We need to repent daily, because we're still carnal, and sometimes things slip into our life unexpectedly, like we need to repent from the very imagination of evil it may become that the devil tries to put into your mind. Need to repent daily, die daily, as Paul said. We need to come to the knowledge of the arm of God that has been revealed down through the years and ages in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, has brought him forth to whom he is and what he is. But many people have distorted the Scriptures and come up and telling you various different things about it and everything, and some of you have failed and come short of the glory of God because you followed after the man instead of after the Word of God. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. God manifested in the flesh, in the man called Jesus. The flesh was the part that had to die. And we're going to have to die to our sins. We're going to have to live for God. We're going to have to put aside all these corruptible things that we've come involved into and everything. Check it out in the Word of God. Pray and ask God what is and what ain't. He'll give you a better understanding. Oh, my friend, today it's time we begin to wake up It's time we begin to read the Word of God and see what God has to say concerning His Word, that we can have righteousness only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, through the man called Jesus. Through His righteousness, we are made righteous. Your righteousness and mine is but filthy rags. It's only His righteousness that's going to count. Somebody said that years ago, I heard when I was a boy that the church wouldn't go through any tribulation because some woman got up back in the 1800s and said she prophesied and said she perceived and that the church would not go through any tribulation. But John looked under the altar and he seen the souls of them that was there crying out, "How long, O holy and true, will thou not revenge our blood upon them that are on it?" And a white robe was given unto them. And the other John was asked a question, "Who are these?" And he said, "Lord, thou knowest." He said, "These is them that came out of great tribulations and have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb." My friend, it's time we got to realize that the Scripture cannot be broken. No matter how many false teachers comes along and teaches you this and teaches you that, if it's not comparison to the Word of God, don't receive it. Believe what the Word says and ask God for guidance. Many people go to these seminars, different places, in Bible colleges. They learn what that man has got, but Paul was a man of sin in his day of early. But when he met God, the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus and was converted, he came to realize that all he had learned was not going to get it. He was out into the wilderness, him and the Lord, and it came to him by revelation. Not that any man taught it. He didn't receive it from any other man, but he received it by revelation. Jesus taught him just as he taught the apostles around the shores of Galilee. And he said, "I have not, I chose you 12 and one of you is a devil." So you can rest assured, my friend, there's false prophets in the world of church world today. And they're deceiving and guiding people into different ways of life than what God intended for them to go. They're there. Look around. If you trust in the Lord and be led by the Spirit, you can find them out. But if you ain't got the Spirit of God in you, you ain't got much anyway. Because without my Spirit, saith the Lord, you're none of mine. Those five virgins got up. They wanted to borrow oil. But they didn't give them any. Going to them that sell. They went to get oil in the lamp. I don't know where they went. The Bible just said they went to the man to get oil. But when they came back, the bridegroom had came. And they entered in, five of them entered in, and the door was shut. And the other five came back and knocking on the door. He didn't recognize them. They didn't enter in, my friend. So we got to realize if it's God's way or no way. Right. We can't serve two and make it in. You'll either love one and despise the other, or serve one. It's just plain and simple. You can't serve the world, the devil, and serve God at the same time. You can't find a fountain that would bring forth sweet water and brackish water at the same time. It's not pleasant. But we're living in a day of the Laodicean church where there's a lukewarmness. Yet I hear a lot of preachers saying, "Oh, we need a big revival." Honey, you can't have a great revival of adding to something or other when there's such a falling away period, when they won't even open up the churches on a Sunday evening. A little bit on Sunday morning, a little bit on Wednesday. You go through a ritual, but ball game's coming on or whatever. We got to have this. We got to have that. I'm too tired. I can't preach two sermons. Well, he probably couldn't, but if the Spirit of God is in him like he should, he ought to be able to, because it's not on him anyway. It's by the grace of God and by His Spirit, not by any arm of flesh. God gives us grace, but he depends upon us and demands that we repent. When he told the scribes and the Pharisees, "Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." except you repent, you will die in your sins. My friends, it's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's time that we begin to realize we need to call upon the name of the Lord in a way of repentance, seeking after the kingdom of God with our whole heart, with all of our understanding. Not just a part-time, but being holy unto Him. Presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which would be just our reasonable service according to the scripture that Peter wrote. I want you to know, my friend, there's no two ways. There's no middle road. There's no gray area. There's either you're for God and God for you, or you are lost in the devil's hell. You have minded the God of this world had blinded your mind and deceived you into believing that any old thing will go, then you need to stop and turn around and see what the Lord has to say. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you with everything that is within me. Read your Bible. Read it and study it, rightly dividing it. Bring it forth. Oh, my Lord, somebody said, well, I read the Bible. He said, well, you read it, and you think that you have eternal life, but it is them that speak of Him. He come in the volume of the book. And if you can't recognize God in the flesh, in the face of Jesus Christ, then, my friend, you're being deceived, because there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, that we're baptized into one body. Christ tore down the wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles when He hung on the cross, and He become one God to all people. One Lord and one faith. We're baptized into one body. There's no two or three or four in the Godhead. There's one God manifested in the flesh in the face of Jesus Christ. He shone, and He came there, died on Calvary's cross for you and I, showed unto us His arm of salvation and His love toward us, because He died for yours and my sin. Whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Have you heard of Him? Have you spoke to Him? Have you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Or has everything went over your head because you're so wrapped up in the cares of this world, in your own little world, and you think that nothing can touch you? But my friend, when the hand of the Lord reaches out to touch you, as a man was laying in his bed the other night, the earth opened up and swallowed him and all of his furniture and everything. You never know.
Never know.
Today is a day of salvation. You may be going down the road and somebody shoots you. You may have some drunk come down the road, or something, an accident, run over you and kill you. Airplane may fall out of the sky and kill you. Whether you're in it or not, you may be going along the road and it fall down. It has been. They fall from time to time. It may fall on your automobile going down the road, or while you're out plowing your mule in the field. But I want you to know today, there's only one God that we can turn to, and Jesus is His name, for salvation. You know Him and He knows you. It don't matter when that time comes. You'll be in the presence of the Lord thereafter. Just lay down and go to sleep here and wake up with Him would be glorious, untold glorious. And that's what I'm working for, son, my friend. And I want to encourage you, read your Bible. Seek after the kingdom of God while there is time, because the day comes that you won't have the opportunity. When the Spirit of God has left this old world, there's nothing here to draw you. Then where will you be if you don't know Him? You'll be lost. So let me encourage you once again to read your word. Seek after the kingdom of God. If you'd write to us, we'd appreciate it. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Is our prayers as we pray one for another. May God bless you until next week. And don't wait until next week to take time for Jesus. Take time for Him every day.
Every day.
And give Him praise and honor every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.